of Micah. All my school students know exactly where that's at in the Bible, or at least they know where it's at in the list of the books of the Bible. Maybe. Praise the Lord. Micah chapter number 6. And I want to read verses 6 and 7. Appreciate the songs that you've sung tonight, Sister Lindsay. It just kind of really thrilled my soul because of some of the things I'm going to share tonight in this message. Micah chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? You can be seated again tonight. Got several scriptures I'm going to share with us again tonight. It's that question. How am I going to come before God? How am I going to be right with God? What all is it going to take on my part to have my sin dealt with? Isaiah 64 and 6. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. What's he saying? No matter how hard I try, I never get it done right. No matter how much I want to do good, I find myself doing wrong. And my life is slipping away, getting older. You realize every time you have a birthday, you get older. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. In other words, our desires have taken us in directions we wish we'd never went. Wow. Romans 3 and 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Wow. Do you realize the category that that's putting us all in? I realize there are some out there in the world, in the church world, that think because they've done a certain group of rituals or a certain group of rules or have done good to a certain group of people. It amazes me how mankind thinks because they do good to a certain elite group of people, then surely they'll be okay. Surely they'll be all right with God because look what I've done for these people. You realize that there's a group of people that are going to stand before the Lord and say that? I don't have the scripture in my notes here tonight, but they're going to say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not done wonderful works in your name? And he's going to say to them, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, because I never knew you. Whoa. There's that word iniquity again. Our iniquity is like the wind have taken us away. You know what iniquity really is? It's that inward self-will and self-preservation that rejects surrender to Jesus Christ. That's what iniquity is. Some may boast, well, I haven't sinned from my youth up. There was a rich young ruler that said that. But what was the problem? His iniquity was taking him away. His own personal desires, his own covetousness, his own greed, his own love of money was taking him away from God. Whoa. You see, there's not really a whole lot of hope For those who boast, they have not sinned, because iniquity gets them every time. Because iniquity is none other than just being selfish and self-willed. Now, how do you know if you're selfish? How do you know if you're self-willed? Because if God tells you not to go somewhere and you go anyway, that's selfish and self-willed. If God says, thou shalt not, and you say, but I can, that's selfish and self-willed. You got desires for your life, and God's got desires for your life, and you do yours instead of God's, that's self-willed, and that's selfish. And we could throw pride in there too. See, iniquity is the pride of man, where he wants to do what he wants to do with his life instead of surrendering it fully to Jesus Christ so he can find joy unspeakable and full of glory. I'm preaching to you tonight, believe it or not, on joyfully. Joyfully. Because the scriptures that I've just kind of read to us don't really bring a lot of joy. But we don't have to stay there. Romans 3, 23 and 26. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by the grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be the propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Woo! Praise God. There's hope for you and I. There's hope for the world. There's hope for anyone that has breath in their body. There is hope, and his name's Jesus. He is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and he is the only one that can deal with the sin nature. He's the only one that can deal with iniquity that is hid within our own lives that no one else may know about, but our God does. He knows all about us. He knows our desires. He knows our wants. He knows our mischievousness. He knows our wickedness. He knows everything about us. Sometimes we think we can hide it, but we can't. You see, there's hope through this man, Jesus. There's hope because a little over 2,000 years ago, I was looking at a timeline just yesterday, I do believe, and you know, we're over the 2,000-year mark. You know, it's Jesus died around 30 A.D. And so if you go from there, when he died on the cross, if you want to go from there, according to this timeline, we're at 2021. So we're like 9 years from being exactly 2000 from A.D. 30. But now if you want to go from when he was born about 4 or 5 B.C. So now we're past due 2000. So somewhere in the midst of all of this figuring out, Jesus is coming. Woo. He is coming because there is a timeline on God's table. Hallelujah. And that timeline is coming down to a really minute scale of give or take this or that. And so I don't want to be found on the wrong side of God's grace. I don't want to be found on the wrong side of the cross. I want to be found in the grace of God, kneeling at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, and surrendering my will, surrendering my life, surrendering all that I am wholly unto him, so that I might be accounted worthy to escape this wicked world and stand before my Savior and hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy. The joy that the Lord has prepared for you. Hallelujah. Now let's move on a little bit further. Ephesians 1 and 6. To the praise and the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. You ask me why I'm happy? Well, I'll just tell you why. because my sins are gone. They're underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary. Woo, praise be to God. I'm accepted in the Beloved. I'm not accepted because of my name. I'm not accepted because how I was raised. I'm not accepted because I went to church most of my life. I'm accepted in the Beloved. I'm not accepted because my last name's Pepper. I'm not accepted because my first name's Doug. I'm not accepted because I'm a pastor of a church. I'm not accepted because I pioneered a church. I'm accepted in the Beloved. Hallelujah. I'm not accepted because I fast and pray. I'm accepted in the Beloved. Now, all those things that I just mentioned are probably good things, but good things is not what counts, is it? What counts is that I'm accepted in the Beloved. The Beloved is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and I'm accepted in Jesus Christ when I humble my heart, repent of my rejection of His Lordship, because that's what sin really is. I can't just write down a bunch of things that are sin, although we know a lot of things that are sin. But the sin that I've got to repent of is the rejection of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Most folks in church don't mind going to church, or they'd not be in church. But just going to church does not get me accepted. I've got to be accepted because I have surrendered my will to the will of an almighty God. Ooh, hallelujah. Because there's no way my sin can be washed away, because if I will not submit my will, then I have pride. So there's sin there. A lot of people think because they lift their hands and feel good when they sing about Jesus, think they're accepted. A lot of people think just because they lift their hands and they feel the love of God, they're accepted. You're accepted when you're ready to submit wholly to Jesus Christ. And His will become your will. Not my will, but Thy will be done, God. Oh, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The Lord's Prayer part of it. The reality of this easy believism, just because I feel good about praising God, is not going to make any difference when that trumpet sounds or you stand before the judge who opens the book, and it's this book He's going to open. Hallelujah. Not just mine, but His Word. And what He's going to look at is whether or not there came a day in your life where you submitted your will to the will of God. Now, everyone that has done that will have a testimony. They will have a moment in time where they submitted their will to God, where they acknowledged their rejection of God, their lack of understanding of God, their ignorance of God, their pride, their self-righteousness, and realize it was time to submit to Jesus Christ. Because when they did that, that's when joy come down in the soul. That's when joyfully showed up. Hallelujah. That's when you knew God was real and you knew you were His child. Hallelujah. You're going to have that testimony. You're going to have that experience. It's not just for one here, one there. It's not just for the pastor or the singers or the Sunday school teacher. It's for every born again believer. When they found that place, knelt at that cross and cast themselves at the feet of Jesus Christ, and acknowledged everything that I've just read from these scriptures, and all my righteousness is filthy rags. You know, Grant, when I went to that altar that morning, 36, going on 37 years ago, I went down there not knowing of any sin I needed to repent of. You don't think you're a sinner, you don't have anything to repent of. You don't think you're really doing any bad to anybody, you don't think you have anything to repent of. But by the time God got through with me, I realized I had to repent of my pride, my self-righteousness, my self-will. See, I opened up the door when I said, God, I don't know what it is I need to do. But whatever you want to do in my life, I want you to do it. And it was a prayer of sincerity and great desire. And in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, he came, showed me what I was, and changed me all at the same time. And when I got up, I had joy. When I got up, I had love. When I got up, I had peace, and I will never forget what it was like when I met Jesus Christ at that altar of prayer, hallelujah, in that Pentecostal church that I didn't really want to go to begin with. When he saved me, when he washed me, when he created me anew, and he put joy down deep in my soul, hallelujah. I did not know the terminology. I could not tell you I'd been born again. I could not tell you I had been saved. I just knew I had been changed. And I got up with joy. Hallelujah. And I've had it ever since. Praise God. There's just nothing that can steal your joy. Oh my, I have fought battles, Brother Matthew. I have fought battles in my mind. I have fought battles with people. Not physically, but mentally, verbally. I have fought against error. I have fought against sin. I have fought against pride. I have fought against carnality, whether it be in me or in others. When I read Paul's pedigree of everything that he fought, I thought, wow, I've been there. I've done that. Woo, hello. Why? Because it's real. When you got something real and you got Jesus Christ in your life, you become a target for the enemy. You begin to move into warfare and battles that you'd never fought before, never encountered before. Why? Because you're never a child of God before. You know, if you're not fighting against sin, you ain't got much fight. Praise God. Accepted in the beloved. Colossians 2 and 10. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. You got to understand that. You got to grab a hold of that. It goes along with, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Now we realize there's principalities and powers of darkness. Paul talks about it. Bible talks about it. But he's the head of all principality and power. Woo. So every power of darkness has to bow to this man Jesus. You don't have to bow to me. But he has to bow to this man Jesus. I remember Brother Jason preached a message. It's been a long time ago. I'm with him. Woo. I remember that because I love that. Because when the devil just comes at you, then you just let him know, I'm with him. Don't talk to me, devil. Talk to him. You talk to Jesus. Ooh, hallelujah. They ain't going to talk to Jesus. They ain't going to hang around. When you put them in their place by just letting them know you belong to him, I'm with him, whatever he has to say, well, that's what we'll do. See, I don't have to argue with the devil. I just let Jesus do that. Let the Holy Ghost do that. Let God do that. Hallelujah. Because if you try to do it, then you're rising up in pride and self-will, and you'll lose every time. But we just let him know who you're with and who you belong to. I'm with him. I'm covered in the blood, washed in the blood. Hallelujah. And I belong to Jesus Christ. I'm complete in him. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. Joyfully. Now here's Micah chapter 6, verse number 8. This is the answer to verses 6 and 7 that we read. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Whoa. So all it takes is humbling myself, walk with God, so I can do right. The only way I can do right is if I walk with God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, Grant, stand up. Yeah, see? You know, as long as you're walking with me, you probably do pretty good, don't you? Yeah. But, you know, if you go on and go out and start doing your own thing and, you know, go riding your bike and just all kinds of that, and I don't really have a whole lot of say in what you're going to do I? So you might have trouble doing right, huh? Maybe riding on a gravel pile you shouldn't have rode on? Woo! You can come sit back down. Woo! I mean, you know, it's just the simplicity. Children, you know, as long as you're with mom and dad, then you usually do right. Usually do right. You know, you try not to fight with your sister. Your little brother, well, you just kind of keep him at arm's length, you know. But when you're by yourself and they're not around, how well do you perform? I mean, my experience in personal life, myself, not well. Why? Because when you're not under the authority, you feel like you are the authority. And you begin to do what you want to do. Not necessarily what you're supposed to do. Oh, Grant, what are you laughing at? Oh, I know too much about you. I can't use you. That's not right. Praise God. Woo! So then, I said all that to the reality. If I walk with Jesus, then I know who my authority is. I'm with my authority. And thus, I follow him at all points of time. Because I am walking with him. But now if I just take off and leave him behind because I got things I want to do, places I want to go, music I want to listen to. You don't have any power. You don't have any strength. Because you left your authority behind, the only source of power against the enemy behind, and you wonder why you fall. You wonder why you fail. Because you left the power of God when you left the authority of God. Joyfully. Serving God joyfully. Knowing what he has done for you. And knowing that you only accepted because of him. And you have no power unless he's with you. Glory to our God. Woo, hallelujah to the Lamb. John 15:4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Do you think Jesus was just saying these words because it sounded neat about the vine? No, he was letting us know that if we get away from him and his authority, we will die. We will fall. We will sin. We will disobey. We will have iniquity. We will fall to pride. Because the first thing that shows up after we disobey is pride, not wanting to say we disobeyed. Making an excuse for our falling. It was Grant's fault. It was Titus's fault. But it sure couldn't have been my fault because I did it. You know, we laugh at that, but how many times have we done that? Always blaming somebody else for our failures and our faults. Always say, well, if they hadn't, then I wouldn't have. Well, maybe if you wouldn't have, they may have not either. You realize that's the oldest sin in the book? When God confronted Adam, he said, the woman, didn't even call her by her name. The woman, she did it. What did the woman do? The serpent, serpent, dude. He couldn't go anywhere else. He was the last one in line. Yeah, he got a curse. So did the woman. Yeah. We'll not go too deep into that, but the reality is, excuses do not hold water with God. Because you and I are accountable for our own actions, no matter what anybody else has done. Abide in me, and I in you. John 15:17, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Now there has been a multitude of people who have grabbed a hold of, you shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. And they're trying to get houses and Cadillacs and trucks and cars and riches and fame and fortune. And they just didn't read close enough, neither did they read far enough, because the next verse says, what you should be asking for is much fruit. The Word of God's like that. You know, you got to take it all together. You're going to get what you want when you ask God to fill you with the Holy Ghost. Ask God to fill you with His Word. Ask God to make you holy. Ask God to help you be righteous. Ask God to help you be pure. You're going to get all that. But if you're asking God, let me get away with my sin, that ain't going to happen. Let me be worldly. That ain't going to happen. I'd rather have a Cadillac and be spiritual. That ain't going to happen. Well, it may happen. Lots of folks have got the Cadillac, but they still ain't spiritual. Woo. Abide in me. My words abide in you. Ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is the Father. This is how God's glorified, because we're ready to do what He wants done. John 15:11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. God is very, very concerned about you being filled with joy. And He knows exactly how it can happen. It just depends on whether you really want to be full of joy, or you want to be full of self. Because full of self and just enjoying sin for a season is not joy. God is not mocked. Whatsoever we sow, that shall we also reap. Just because it ain't showing up right now, it will show up. Judgment will fall. Grace is there to help me live godly, soberly, righteously, right now. That's what grace is for. Grace was never intended so that I could go farther and farther and farther and farther into sin so I could come back and ask God to forgive me. Grace don't work that way. And God is a gracious God, but you've got to realize you are trodden dangerous territory if you're trodden territory like that. Because you're gambling with the greatest thing God has given. You're gambling with your salvation. You're just expecting God to take you back every time you go into sin. And there's too many testimonies of those who couldn't find a place of repentance. Judas was one of them. Esau was one of them. Couldn't find their way back. Yeah, Peter denied the Lord 3 times. But he only did it 3 times. Let me rephrase that. He only denied the Lord at one setting, so to speak. He denied Him 3 times that night. But he didn't let his head hit the pillow till he repented of that. I didn't say ask forgiveness till he repented of that. We don't ever find that Peter denied the Lord again. Judas's grace ran out because he betrayed the Lord. It was a willful decision, a willful act to turn him over to evil men. For whatever the motivation was, it was the wrong motivation. Even though Judas was called into the 12, he never surrendered his will. You may be sitting among the believers of Calvary Lighthouse Church, but have you ever surrendered your will? Because that is what God's looking for. And when we do, that's when joyfully shows up. Kaufman Kohler, not for sure exactly who he is, but he was a writer of a Jewish encyclopedia. He states in the Jewish encyclopedia that no language has as many words for joy and rejoicing as does Hebrew. In the Old Testament, 13 Hebrew roots found in 27 different words are used primarily for some aspect of joy or joyful participation in religious worship. I like the word participation. Joyful participation in religious worship. Hebrew religious ritual demonstrates God as the source of joy. In contrast to the rituals of other faiths of East, Israelite worship was essentially a joyous proclamation and celebration. The good Israelite regarded the act of thanking God as the supreme joy of his life. Pure joy is joy in God as both its source and object. The psalmist says, "Thou doest show me the path of life. In thy presence there is fullness of joy. In thy right hand are pleasures forevermore." Psalm 16:11. Everything about worship of God is about joy. Not pleasure, so to speak, of worldly pleasure or sensual pleasure, but joy, pure thanksgiving to God as the source, I like that, and the object. It's what He gives that gives me the ability to worship Him. He gives the joy. He gives the peace. Hallelujah. Evangelist Paul Rader had often urged a banker in New York State to receive Christ, but the man would not make the decision. One day, the preacher sensed that God wanted him to go immediately and speak to the banker again. So he took a train to the town where the man worked, hurried to the bank, and found his friend standing in the doorway. "Rader," he said, "I'm glad to see you. I wrote a telegram begging you to come, but later changed my mind and I didn't send it." "That's all right," said the evangelist. "Your message came through anyhow by the way of heaven." Under deep conviction of sin, the banker was impressed by Rader's earnestness and his special effort to reach him with the gospel. And within a few minutes, he accepted the Lord. In his newfound joy, he exclaimed, "Did you ever see the sky so blue or the grass so green?" "Hallelujah, you're truly converted," came Rader's response. "It's just like the song says, heaven above is softer blue, earth around is sweeter green. Something lives in every hue Christless eyes have ever, never seen." Suddenly, the banker gave a strange gasp, fell over dead. He had been saved at the very brink of eternity. What if Rader had delayed or failed to stress the banker's urgent need of turning to the Lord immediately? That man may that man may have remained lost. Life is but a vapor. Whether that means the shortness of it or how quick it can be gone. The most important factor of my life, your life, and anybody else's life is the factor of Jesus Christ and accepting Him as Lord and Savior of our lives. Joyfully is the life of Christianity. If your Christianity is not joyfully, then it is not biblical Christianity. It is some type of Christianity, maybe that you have been taught or someone has shared with you, but it is not biblical Christianity, because biblical Christianity brings forth a joy, a happiness, a thanksgiving, a desire to serve the living God. And if your Christianity is not producing that in you, it is not the Christianity of the Bible. Because there is all shapes, forms, sizes of customized Christianity throughout this world. And it has been in this world for the last 2,000 years. But there is only one true gospel. And it brings every individual to joyfully. It brings every individual to thanksgiving for that salvation. And they won't want to do anything to jeopardize that salvation. Oh, praise God. Because that joy inside that soul is more precious than silver or gold. More precious than prestige. More precious than honor. More precious than fame. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. You see, it's been once said that if God has called you to be a preacher of the gospel, don't stoop low and become the president of some company or the president of the United States, because there's no greater or higher calling than to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Banks will fail. Presidents will pass away. But those who humble their hearts, surrender to Christ, will live forever. What we do for God will be celebrated forever. Hallelujah to the Lamb. That's how you endure hardness as a good soldier. That's how come when it gets the trials seem hard, you just rise up and move on. Because you're headed for eternity. Hallelujah. You're not living for the moment. You're living for the King. Woo, praise God. Hallelujah. Can I say that again? You're not living for the moment. You're living for the King. Hallelujah. And the King, he's all concerned about longevity. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. We've been pioneered here for 19 years. And to you and I, 19 years seems like a long time. But to God, it's just a small portion of His big plan. If Jesus Christ should tarry, I'll pass from this world. But I really believe this work will keep going on. That's why we're not worried about buying the land behind us. Because we might need it one day. You might need it one day. I might be gone. But Titus, you might need it one day to build a big building out there for the furthering of the kingdom of God. See, it's not going to stop if I stop. Does Does it, if it does, I didn't do something right. And God's not in it. See, I don't want it to stop. I want it to keep right on going. I'd just soon go in the rapture than die, but that's okay. If we go in the rapture, then the world can have it all. Some other church can enjoy this building. Because we ain't going to be here. Hallelujah. You laugh at that. But when this building becomes empty because of the rapture, there'll be another church come in here. It may be a church for the Antichrist. Could just be some of those left behind individuals that don't want to acknowledge their sin and, hey, we got a bigger building. It's just sitting empty. I hope it's going to be sitting empty. I hope you ain't sitting in here. Because if you're sitting in here, you're going to be weeping, you're going to be crying because you're going to know you missed your opportunity to get right with God right here in this place. Woo. Joyfully. I serve Him joyfully. I serve Him gladly. I serve Him because He has put joy in my heart, joy in my soul. Hallelujah. And because of that, I can continue on. I can continue on because I am accepted in Him. Praise God. There's going to be joy, church. I do believe it was Jack Cole. I think even Jason has shared this too. When he got saved, he was just a young man come right off the streets of that day and that hour. Knew nothing about God, knew nothing about Pentecost, knew nothing about church. But when he came into that revival meeting and God saved his soul, he was standing down around that altar, just walking around that altar. If my memory serves me correct, he was just shouting to the top of his lungs, "Hot dog! Hot dog! I'm saved! Hot dog!" He didn't know how to say hallelujah, praise God. All he knew was hot dog. Why? Because something changed in him. And he was full of joy. Woo. He was full of joy. Praise God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. You know, I'm closing. Piano player can make their way back to the piano. It was Smith Wigglesworth, and I shared this just a few services ago, who just did not want to get out in the middle of that room in that chair where everybody was getting full of the Holy Ghost. He wanted to do it his own way back behind the piano so nobody would hear him or see him. When you're ready to get right up in the middle of where God's moving and ready to say whatever God wants you to say and do whatever God wants you to do, you'll be full of the Holy Ghost. Because the minute Smith Wigglesworth went out and got in that chair, nobody drug him there. I don't believe in dragging people to the altar. If you don't want to come to the altar, then you can stay where you're at. If you don't want to come to where God's calling you to come, you can stay where you're at. But when he finally swallowed that pride and moved that pride away and come that night for that prayer meeting, he marched right out to that chair, plopped right down in that chair. They gathered around him, began to pray for him. God filled him with the Holy Ghost. Probably preach it till we're blue in the face. You gotta move with God. You gotta do what He's asking you to do. Can't worry about face. You gotta worry about being obedient. Because He will not withhold any good thing from those who walk uprightly. And if it is your longing and your desire to be filled with the Spirit of God, that's what He's going to do. He's going to fill you with the Spirit of God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Pray joyfully. Joyfully. Perfect love casteth out all fear. If you really love Him, you realize He loves you. You do not have to be afraid of the Holy Ghost. Because He's not going to hurt you. He's not going to harm you. He's just going to love you right into a closer walk with Jesus Christ. You do not have to be afraid. Because he loves us. And we know he loves us because he laid down his life so we could have this salvation. He willingly went to that cross. He willingly suffered that punishment. He willingly suffered that pain, that shame. That's love. That's love. And if he loved us that much, then he will keep us. He will fill us. And even his prayer is that our joy might be full. Stand with me. Hallelujah. Praise our God. Praise our God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Lift your hands unto the Lord and just let thanksgiving, let it flow from your heart. Let it flow from your lips. Hallelujah. Oh, for truly we are blessed people. Truly. We're living in a day, we're living in an hour where wickedness is all about us, but Jesus Christ is near us. Woo, hallelujah to the Lamb. Oh, glory be to our God. Oh, God of heaven, your salvation is still just as powerful as it's always been. Hallelujah. And those that will call on your name, those that will humble their heart, oh, those that will turn, Lord God, from their wicked ways, oh God, you'll hear, you'll come. You'll visit, you'll wash, you'll cleanse, you'll make life new. Hallelujah. Glory and honor and praise be given to the holy God of heaven. Hallelujah. Lord, because you loved us enough to die for us. Oh, praise God. You loved us enough to draw us unto you. You loved us enough, oh God, that your conviction of your Holy Ghost continually pulls on our heart to keep us in check, oh God, to keep us challenged, to keep us walking with you, Lord. Blessed be your holy name. Blessed be your holy name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, glory.
That's what your mercy did for me. Lord, you found me, you healed me, you called me from the grave, you gave me your real love, thank you, Jesus, you washed my sins away, and now I'm living like I'm forgiven, you came to set me free, that's what your mercy did.